Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started. Larry, I have been myself enjoying these conversations. You're like a seminary professor or something. just spitting that stuff out over there. This isn't rehearsed, in case y'all are wondering. We're just talking.
Yeah, that's right.
But we've been talking about, why did Jesus come?
Yes.
And I just believe there is more to life than asking Jesus in my heart so that when I die, I can go to heaven. Yeah. There's a life, a shared life of Christ. This scripture comes to mind. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yeah.
So there's more. It's a shared life of Christ. The life of Christ is available. The life that is to come, the age that is to come.
Yes.
Is available. So we've hit on that pretty good.
Yeah.
But we want to talk some more about, why did Jesus come?
Okay. Well, I think we were starting with the scripture in Luke chapter 2, where the angels visited the shepherds at the birth of Jesus, and they said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And how that's going to be good news of great joy to all people.
Yes.
And that however you think about how Jesus came, or why Jesus came, that it's got to be good news, it's got to bring great joy, and it's got to be for all people, or you're not thinking about it straight.
That's right.
Okay, and we talked a little bit about being a Savior and what that meant, but he is Christ the Lord. Mm. And I'd like to talk about just that term Christ, because it is a term found a whole lot in the New Testament. Jesus Christ the Lord. This is where we start getting this phrase from. I mean, Christ, not just his last name. You know, it is a term, a title that he is the Christ. And what is meant by that, and what is the significance of that to us? And it's kind of like this, the subject we're on of why did Jesus come. I'm not going to exhaust the term Christ at all.
Yeah.
In our conversation. But first of all, let me lay this groundwork, that in the New Testament, which was originally written in Greek, we have the word Christ as we translate it or use it in English. In the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, the word would be Messiah.
Mm.
Okay? And both of those mean the anointed one. He is the anointed one. So,
okay.
All right. So first of all, I want to go back to the Old Testament idea of anointing and this idea of a Messiah. Now, what began to happen is, in Old Testament, as God's Spirit begin to move upon certain people to achieve certain tasks and jobs, people would recognize that God's Spirit was upon them and at work with them, and they begin to call them anointed ones. And they symbolize that by actually anointing with oil. And it was a slow development in human history, this idea of God's picking someone to be a prophet and speaking through them, or God selecting a family of priests and the priest being anointed as they began their priestly duties. And then when the king came along, the king was the Lord's anointed Messiah, and he was anointed with oil. And I believe King David was anointed 3 different times in his life. But the outward anointing with oil was to picture and illustrate that the people believed that this person had the Spirit of God upon them. And so this is kind of the backdrop of this term Christ or Messiah. And so prophets and priests and kings were recognized as anointed people. Okay, even though they served in different roles and capacities. When you get to Jesus in the New Testament, he is the Christ. He is the prophet, the king, and the great high priest. He is the consummate of everything. That all of what the Old Testament prophets had talked about in a coming Messiah, coming anointed one, Jesus becomes this embodied person in the New Testament.
All right, as you shared that, a scripture came to mind, and we can probably quote this scripture or think about it and tie it in later after we talk about Christ coming. And that scripture is one of the Psalms talks about the beard, the oil flowing down the beard.
Yeah, Psalm 133.
It talks about the unity of the brethren dwelling together. Yeah. And I was thinking about the ministry of Christ and how he accomplished that, but what is that?
Psalm 133.
Can you quote it?
I doubt I can quote it. Yeah, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, for it is like the oil upon Aaron's head that flows down upon his beard into the hem of his garment. How about, is that it?
That's pretty good.
Okay, yeah.
How truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest, Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This harmony can be compared to the dew dripping from Mount Hermon, which flows down upon the hills of Zion. Indeed, that is where Yahweh has decreed his blessings will be found, the promise of life forevermore. Yeah. I think Christ is all up in that song.
Yes, 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 because it's a picture of what is reality. Okay, because Christ is this anointed one, and that's a picture of the priest being anointed. Of course, Christ is our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Yahweh has declared, here's where the blessing is.
This is where it's at. Okay, now he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is the power of an endless life, his resurrection life. Because he is of the tribe of Judah, not of the tribe of Levi.
Yeah.
So he's not a high priest because he's Levi.
Yeah.
He's high priest because he ever lived to make intercession for us.
Yes.
Okay? So we tie that together. But in this, his anointing flows through his entire body.
Yeah.
the anointing that is on the head, which is the Christ, Jesus, it flows through his entire body, which is his church, that it fills all in all.
His called out ones.
Yes, yes. It's, yes, his whole ones. But this Christ, this anointing, goes, all right? The next thing I want to say about that is the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus went to the Jordan River to be baptized of John, that when he was baptized, John said that when he brought him up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and abiding upon him.
Yeah.
Now, what was taking place there in the imagery is this was Jesus being externally anointed with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb at some other places. But at the baptism, this is the launching of his public ministry. He's at about 30 years of age. And now there is a visible anointing that John testifies to that comes upon him. And Luke and others tell us that upon or following the baptism of Jesus, that the Spirit of God led him or drove him into the wilderness, and he faced 40 days of temptations and trials. And at the end, of that, he came out in the fullness of the Spirit.
Yeah.
All right. So one distinction that I observe when I read Scripture is that there is a work of the Spirit in us and a work of the Spirit on us. There is the Spirit of God is like a artesian well that is springing up within us, that the life of Christ is always there to satisfy any thirst that you might have. He's always in you, for you. Okay? But he's not just limited there, because God's everywhere. He's also on you for those around you. That out of your belly flows rivers of living water for the benefit of the people around you.
Yeah.
Okay? But all this ties back to, because this is what we see modeled in Jesus. And here is the Christ, Jesus the Christ, being anointed at his baptism. And then in the fullness of the Spirit, he goes back to his hometown Nazareth. And one Saturday went into the synagogue and he stood up to read and called for the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember what happened then? He opened that thing up. And he scrolled, and he found a particular verse. But in it, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." This is raw and real.
You were done just
there was
fine.
About five things he talks about.
He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
Yeah.
And he has anointed me to be hope for the poor, healing for the brokenhearted, and new eyes for the blind, and to preach to prisoners, you are set free. I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun.
Ooh.
And he read this, and he rolled up the scroll and handed it back to
him. But what did he say after that?
After he read this, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Everyone stared at Jesus, wondering what he was about to say. Then he added, "Today, these scriptures came true in front of you."
Wow. Yeah, today.
Yeah.
All right.
These scriptures came true.
Those scriptures were true then, and they're true now. He is still the Christ, and this is the anointed one. And we see what happens when God's Spirit, because God did not give the Spirit by measure to him. The Spirit of God in all of its fullness came upon a man in human flesh and did what no one else had ever done.
Yeah.
And he is the Christ.
You are set free, he said. This is the acceptance, the great acceptance has begun.
Yes.
Jubilee, year of Jubilee. What is that?
The year of Jubilee? I was every 50 years. And then when you had seven Sabbath years together, you would have an additional, the 50th year would be the year of Jubilee. And in that year, all the debts were canceled, as well as the land was supposed to lie fallow and not be plowed. But Jesus came and says, this is the year of Jubilee.
Everybody's free.
Everybody's free.
Your debt's been paid in full.
Yes. Yes. Every year is a year of Jubilee because he has dealt with our sins. Yeah, we have to renew our mind to this truth.
So when I think about the Christ, and that scripture I quoted at the beginning, Christ in me, the life that I live is Christ in me, and all of what you're saying, I realize I could be more, well, I don't want to get that way, but I'm learning to rest. I mean, down inside, just rest. Not care, not have a care, not have a worry because of just what he said, I'm here. You know, that's, right. You're free. You're free.
Yes.
You're accepted before the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You're in me. I'm in him. We're in him. We're in this together. I'm for you.
Yes.
You know, and I trust that as I live this way, that when we encounter people, or when I encounter somebody, I try to love them as best I can, whatever it is. Maybe I can minister to them some way, somehow, but I try to be Christ to them because it's him in me.
Because that's who you are.
Yeah, sometimes.
I may not act like who I am,
sometimes,
but that's who I am.
Well, sometimes I may not see anybody that day.
Well, that's true.
But so I didn't want to throw a bunch of guilt on me because I hadn't ministered somebody, but I think I ministered somebody earlier today.
But yeah.
I think I did.
Yeah.
I spoke to them.
Yeah.
What you got, Marie?
Well, no, I was going to point out the fact you read from the Passion Translation.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a New King James, but in it, he talks about proclaiming liberty to the captive, set at liberty those who are oppressed. Some of the idea behind that is whether you're a prisoner or a captive, he sets you free. And the distinction between the two is a prisoner is guilty and needs to be set free. A captive is just a victim of somebody else's tyranny.
There's some oppression somewhere, either way.
But both are set free.
Yeah.
The bottom line is because it's the truth that sets you free, regardless of how you got in to your bondage.
Yeah. So there could be somebody watching today that's feeling oppressed.
They could be.
Just life is closed in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there seems to be a shortage. Whatever the shortage. But there's life in Christ that's able to set free from that. Whatever the need is, turn to him, trust him, look to him, ask him to provide. He has set free. He has brought freedom. He's brought the victory. He's brought that you need. It's already been deposited in you, all that you need for life and godliness. It's done.
Yes.
It's done.
Well, we go back to repenting and believing the good news that somewhere there's something in the way that we're thinking about our problem that's holding us captive because the truth sets us free.
Yes.
And we're to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Is how I'm thinking about myself or God or my situation or my problem. Am I thinking about it through the the filter lens of the good news that's bringing me great joy and for everybody involved in this or not? Because if I'm not, then I need to change how I'm thinking about it. I need to think more from the perspective of Jesus and what he's actually done and what he has said and who he is, because all of that is true of me.
Yeah.
Because I'm in union with him and he's living his life through me, or he's trying to. I may not be doing a good job of cooperating with him or believing him or thinking like him or talking like him or acting like him, but he's still there.
I'll tell you, Larry, one of the things that I'm thinking about is my world was turned upside down as a follower of Christ. My eyes have been opened. I had was trying to follow Jesus, you know, trying to learn to walk with him and all that stuff. What turned my world around was the revelation that God is my Father.
Yes.
And understanding that the God that is, mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he exists in himself and has need of nothing and wants nothing and is content in himself, but he wanted to share himself with someone else, and he created man, he created me as my Father. I have my origin in him. When I understood that and began to realize he's my dad.
Yes. Yes.
There's stuff in my life that just fell off.
Yeah.
It just fell off. A peace, a confidence, a joy, a lack of worry and concern, because I know who my Father is.
Yeah.
And that was 20-something years ago that things begin to turn.
Yes.
And I won't forget his word. I think we shared it in a previous episode, when God said through Marsha, that lady that gave me that word, go forward. Don't look back. I have so much in store for you. That's so much. It just keeps getting
there's a whole lot
gooder
to it.
And gooder.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just.
Yeah. Well, it's the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the journey.
That we're on.
Yes.
But God as our Father is central to it.
Yes. It's the revelation of God in Christ. That's what we're talking about, the Christ, the anointed one.
Right.
Did he accomplish it? Did he do something? I mean, was it significant?
Yes.
Did he actually change? Did he actually cast out?
And he came and he did everything that God had promised through the Old Testament prophets. He is the embodiment of the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. And in that, this anointed one, he did it in such a way to include us in it, so that now the same anointing that it was in the head is flowing through the body of which we are a part of.
Yes.
We are partakers of that. Just like in communion, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Well, if I'm in the body of Christ, well, the oil that was on the head flowed down to the hem of the garment. Look, I might just be that little piece of fuzz that's on the edge of the garment down there at the end.
But that anointing.
But it's anointed fuzz.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you might want to think of yourself lowly like that, but you are included.
There's Christ's life in it.
That's right. There's Christ's life in it.
Man, that's good.
It is good.
That's good. So if we could just renew our minds to that.
Yes. To that truth. That's renewing this to this truth. Yes. All right, because I'm convinced that my years of trying to shepherd people, we still coming into this new covenant way of living, living out of our inheritance, understanding why Jesus came and what difference it makes to my life today.
Yeah.
Because we still want to think that some people have more of God's Spirit than other people have. That, hey, we all got equal access to God as Father. We all pray in Jesus' name. We're all anointed to do whatever God's called us to do. Mm-hmm. Now, you may be, if I can use some churchy kind of language, of you may be called to do something different. Not everybody's called to pastor or preach, but it doesn't matter. The same Spirit is anointed upon everyone for whatever work they do. Matter of fact, the first people in the Bible that the Spirit of the Lord anointed was to build the tabernacle. They were artists and skilled craftsmen. They worked with their hands. They're the first people in the Bible that the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord has anointed them to build things. That ought to change every carpenter, mason, electrician, roofer. You know, he ought to think about his job different. That he's just as anointed to roof a house as the pastor is to lead a church.
A painter.
Yeah, a painter.
That reminds me of a story.
Yep.
Tommy Bates was there.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with Tommy Bates. Singing preacher. He could do it. Man, I remember going down front after the service. Tommy Bates was up on the stage and I was down on the floors, a little elevated there, so he kind of squatted down and I was talking to him. I don't remember what I told him, you know, some of my struggles, I'm sure, whining, but I asked him to pray for me, and he did like this there. He said, "Father, bless him, give him what he wants," and he turned around and went on.
Yeah.
And I felt like, man, he just dished me, you know. He didn't give me the time of day, basically.
But what I learned from that
man did nothing wrong. I realized my father was trying to teach me.
Right.
Don't be looking to no man.
Yeah.
What a revelation.
Yes.
What a revelation.
Because the revelation is that the same Spirit that was in Jesus and on Jesus and raised him from the dead is in you. Yeah. Hey, I just want to say I appreciate y'all tuning in as we talked a little bit today about Jesus being the Christ. I want to encourage you and that you begin to pay attention to the Spirit of Christ that is in you and that is on you, that you awaken to that you start living out of that and find the life that God has for you. That, and I hope that something we said today helps you find your way as we're trying to find ours. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. I hope it helps you find your way in experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life that Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.